Dr. Reedy to come here in a moment, but just before he does, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And could we just stay in that, just that atmosphere of inviting him to come? And you know, the word the Lord gave me for me and for our church this year, I felt was the word abide. And just, I just really sense that he is inviting us to become more of a friend of his and to step into just, you know, there's been a lot of distraction, a lot of chaos, a lot of division over all kinds of things this last, whatever, year or two. And I just feel like the Lord wants us to get recentered on him and to remind ourselves of the things that really matter. And so I just encourage you to just shut out all the noise and just invite him to fill you, to speak to you this morning. Ask him what's on his heart for you. Because today is not about another person. It's not about anything but receiving from him.
Pastor Paul, thank you for having us and having me and Hans, and thank you for inviting us. And you know, last time when I was here, I knew when I left here that you are a lover of the Holy Spirit. You know, you just know when somebody loves the Holy Spirit. You know, you just sense it. The way a person talk, the way they minister, the way they worship. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. This, you know, just love seeing you guys. Thank you for being so supportive. I think Paul said there's two funerals in the community, and that's probably why some of the people didn't show up today. But you know what? I believe that the ones that's here is going to, you know, have the blessing, and that blessing is going to flow to the others that's not here. And, you know, I've done ministry since 2014, and I've seen that God just brings in the right people. You know, you just have to trust him. He brings in the right people. And, you know, it just takes one person to be touched, and God can use, you know, everything for his glory. But just want to thank you for Paul, for keeping open a well here in Maple Creek, keeping up the well. You know, we're well keepers. And, you know, David got so thirsty. David had these mighty men. And, you know, he loved the water that came from a well. And I believe that well was in Bethlehem, if I'm not mistaken. Was it in Bethlehem? Anyhow, so he said to his men, you know, he would give anything just to get some water from that well. And so his brave men, his men that love him, these giant killers that, you know, trained with him and walked with him, you know, they broke through the ranks of the enemy and to get some water from that well. And so what I see in the Spirit for you, Hans, and where's your mom? She's not here. I just see that you guys, oh, there she is. I just see that you guys are keeping the well open. You know, the well open. And what is the water? The water is the Holy Spirit. People come and drink. Did you feel the presence in that church? Oh my goodness, did you sense it? You feel that, you know? And what takes us a step closer to God? Yes, we can read the Word, and the Word is beautiful. Listen, it stirs you. The Word will always give you hope. The Word will always bless you. The Word will reveal you how much God loves you, and what, you know, that he's a spirit, that God is, you know, he's love. That's what separates him from all other kind of gods. Not that there is any other gods, but that he's a God of love. So, you know, you guys are keeping the well open. And you know, the enemy always wants to plug up the well. Always wants to throw stones in the well. Always, you know, what does Jesus say? Jesus says he only comes to what? He only comes. He has no other purpose. You know, he only comes. John 10:10 says, why? He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he comes and he wants to, of course he wants to plug up this well. You know, because the giant killer is going to come here and drink from the Holy Spirit here. You know, the men of David is going to come here and say, Paul, listen, I know you have water here. I know you have the presence here. And I'm going to strengthen my spirit. You know, so thank you for loving the Holy Spirit. Thank you for keeping the well open. Is it easy? No. Behind your back, somebody's going to come and drop a stone in the well. And you're going to say, oh, my goodness. Look, there's a stone in the well trying to plug this thing up. You know, and then you have to be a little bit of David just to unplug that well again, you know, and just say, listen, guys, just back off a little bit. You know, and the religious spirits want to do that. You know, they mean to do good. You know, they try. They think they're doing the right thing, but they try to keep the well open without the Holy Spirit. That's impossible. You cannot keep the well open. You have to have God involved. You know, who is God? The Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot do ministry without God. I explained it yesterday. It's like you have a lawnmower, but somebody has removed the blade. So, you know, here you go, you start the lawnmower, and it looks like a lawnmower, and here you go, and it sounds like a lawnmower, and your neighbor says, man, you've lost your mind. The lawn is still the same. So it is the anointing, that gets the job done. It is the anointing. And the anointing, we need to talk about, we need always use the word anointing so that people understand what are you talking about, you know? What is the anointing, you know? And so language also builds a culture. Language, but if you take, you know, I'm a South African, born in South Africa, but I'm now Canadian, okay? But if I don't speak Afrikaans, which is my native language, if you don't speak the language, the culture will go. So if everybody speaks in South Africa probably English, I bet you we will lose a lot of culture. Do you understand that? So, and that, where do we see it? It's always in the Bible. The Tower of Babel, do I pronounce that word right, Babel? Is that the right word? Remember the tower that they built and then God messed with their language and then they couldn't understand one another and they dispersed. Do you understand? And you know why there's so much division in the body of Christ at the moment? Is because they've lost the language. Okay? It is kingdom language. Kingdom language, because sons and daughters are called to take care of business, take care of the Father's business. And there's a language. Kingdom has a language. We talk about anointing, you know, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? There's a language that keeps the culture. And that is very important, that you keep the language. If you lose the language, you lose the culture, you lose the focus. And so it's very important. I realize that. Look at the Jewish people. Let's look at the Jewish people. How did the Jewish people still survive all these years? Well, the language. It was the language that preserved them. The scrolls they wrote, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls and whatever, and they teach the language between them. It's the language that preserved the nation of Israel as they are at the moment. You guys feeling blessed already? So that's important. We're kingdom focused. If you lose the kingdom focus, then you lose the thing that's really on the Holy Spirit's heart, and that's the kingdom. And so, sorry guys, I'm more distracting at the moment. So thanks for keeping this well open. Thank you for focusing on the Holy Spirit, which unites us. The other things just divide us. But your focus is, you know, Holy Ghost. You know, that's it. And all the gifts, all the other gifts, you know, is built around setting people free. You're going to say, why do we have gifts in the Spirit? Why do we have visions? Why do we have dreams? Why do we have prophecy? All of that stuff is tools to get God's people free. That's why we don't focus on the gifts. Am I right, Paul? What is the main focus? The main focus is to get people free. Because what is the law of the Holy Spirit? Liberty. 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 Remember, God sent in Moses to bring Israel out of bondage. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to bring people out of bondage. He has one law that he wants to minister. Freedom. That only he can do. Freedom. Freedom. And once you have that global picture, what is God doing? People say always, what is God doing? What is my purpose? What is my purpose in God? You know, you get that question. What is God doing? God is setting his people free. And once you see that, oh my goodness, it's about freedom. Then you understand why there's prophecy and why there's visions and word of knowledge and all that stuff, which took me years to understand. I like, okay, I got to grow in this one, you know. What is the purpose of it? Oh, yeah, I know, yeah, because this is just how it works. Well, no, let me make it easy for you. The Holy Spirit has one law, liberty. And you can see it when he touches them. Now he ministers and everybody's like, eyes are big. What just happened and what's going on? And because people don't even know the power of God anymore. It's foreign. We have drifted away so far from the Holy Spirit, the God that he's strange to us and he scares us. And we would rather say, sorry, we'll go without that and try it on our own. You know, and that causes division among us and separate us. So that's why I say, you know, what is our focus? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. How do I get people closer to the love of God? Who demonstrates the love of God the best? One step closer, the Holy Spirit himself. When the Holy Spirit touches, you can just see the face. Oh, he's alive. Oh, the peace. You know, you can read God loves you. Man, you can read and he puts hope and it stirs and burns your heart and the word is beautiful. But there's no one that just demonstrates it or makes it real or enlightens it that a touch of the Holy Spirit himself. So we need to keep things simple. We need to keep simple and not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. And he is strange. He's a spirit. You know, he's laughing. Yeah, he's awkward. But you know, he probably looks at us and think, man, you guys are awkward, especially when you're without me, you know. And so, you know, Jesus didn't even dare to do ministry without the Holy Spirit. He didn't even, there's no way that he could have done ministry without the Helper, and he gave him a name. He actually had a name for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, you know. And Jesus says, you know, I'm not leaving you guys as orphans here. I'm leaving, please, just take care of the Holy Spirit. Love him. Love him. Just nurture him. Make sure you find out what he likes. What music does he like? There's certain music that he likes. There's certain scripture that if you read. There's certain meditation, you know. Certain meditation. You guys probably know Pastor Peter Nash. Do you guys know? Who knows Pastor Peter Nash here? Yeah, yeah. You know, I traveled to him. I was invited with him to go to Argentina. And when Pastor Peter he just radiates constantly the Holy Spirit. He radiates the Holy Spirit. And so things that I've noticed, once he's finished eating, when you sit next to him, when you're finished eating, he just radiates the Holy Spirit more. It was just, I don't know why. You know, but there's certain things that the Holy Spirit just loves. He loves certain music. Thursday night with our healing and deliverance, our team just know now, there's certain music, if we put certain music on, I know your music is anointed, Paul. I know when you play, whoa, just now, it was just, so overwhelming. He loves your music, David knew that. David played the harp for Saul. Played the harp for Saul, and then the Spirit of God would minister to the emotions of King Saul, thank you for keeping open the well. Thank you for keeping open the well. Thank you for standing. The earth is God's. He created it. It's just under rebellion at the moment. The earth is God's. He created it. He owns it. Where does it say? Well, he created it. If you create something, Genesis chapter 1, he created the heavens and the earth. It's his. But we have a little bit of rebellion going on, and Jesus just came down and said, listen, it's a matter of time and this rebellion is going, okay? So better just work with your attitude and get ready here, guys, because this is God's kingdom. You can rebel now, and I know you're under the influence of a fallen angel, but it's a matter of time. I'm coming to get things in order here again. So in the Spirit, he calls us in the Spirit to stand in the kingdom for him. In the Spirit, not in the flesh. Okay? So we've seen many attempts in the flesh which failed. Was the pilgrims going to Jerusalem and just killing a bunch of people in the name of Jesus. And if you look at history, so it doesn't work in the flesh. Don't even try the flesh. Don't try to even advance the kingdom in the flesh. And we still try. We do it without the Holy Spirit. So we, you can look at the pilgrims and say, wow, they were really bad. How can they go and kill people in the name of Jesus? But we still do it in the flesh. So don't judge them. If we do ministry without the Spirit, we're kind of doing the same thing. We sometimes drive people more away from, we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think we're going to just drive people away with the Holy Spirit. But listen, they got to get used to him. They got to work. They have to deal with their own hearts. So the ones that's going to be offended of the Holy Spirit, I feel sorry for them. And I'm not using the Holy Spirit to drive them away, but the Holy Spirit do test your heart. Are you there for him? Are you going to submit? Are you going to humble yourself? It does. It does. That's why our focus is Holy Ghost. And so many times we try to build a certain character. We do. We use the word to build a certain character. We have a certain expectancy from that person, a certain expectancy from a Christian, how they should be. They should be humble. They should not be in sin. They should be, and so we minister that. Because we want to see the fruit of that character. We want to see that person. But God is not really looking for that. God is looking for a Christ-like character. A Christ-like character. A Christ. What is a Christ-like character? Well, let's go to Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Does this bless you? Does this give you a revelation? Works with you? So you're so blessed, keeping open up the well, standing for the truth, because the truth will separate you. The truth will set you apart. Okay? That's important to know, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's go to Matthew. So I believe all of you guys that are here this morning have a heart of God, use me. Please use me. Use me. Lord, I'm going to put some skin in the game. God, I'm going to put some skin in the game. Use me. I don't have much to give you, God. You know my weaknesses. Man, I can barely speak, God. I can barely remember Bible verses. I don't have much looks. I don't have much charisma. You understand what I'm saying? But what does the Bible say? The Holy Spirit comes and helps you in your weaknesses. So the more you feel unqualified, the more you qualify for the Holy Spirit. Because he's called the helper. You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The older you are, the more anointed you are. Why? Because you need a helper more. I'm just saying. It's true. The more weaknesses you have, that's God's qualifications. Look at the amazing, anointed ministers in the past. Was people that had no skills. They just learned how to lean on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit did the job. Because it's actually a spiritual kingdom. It's not a kingdom by man's strength or man's good looks or, you know, what you have in the bank, you know. Yes, of course, you can use all of that too. Okay, So, look at that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Bless you back there. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you give. Yeah. Do you have that in a different translation? New King James? I'm demanding, sorry. So, you're going to say, okay, Rudy, how do I build the character that God wants? There's a character that man wants, you know. There's a character that man wants, but we don't want man's character, do we? No! I'm not from the earth, I'm from heaven. I want my Christ-like character, you know. And so here we go. Is that New King James? Oh, lovely. New King, thank you. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have given, freely you receive. Okay. Now, Christ-like character is you're doing the things that Christ did. And that's why you get the Holy Spirit. That's why you get the anointing. That's why you get the power. Because you have now a Christ-like character. God is building a Christ-like, and the Word is building that in. And how does that come? That's through obedience to Christ. That is the obedience to Christ. Now, what do you see there? What do you see there? It's freedom. You know, Moses' laws bind you. The Ten Commandments bind you. You can't do this, you can't do that, you know, you can't do that. But that is freedom. That's liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So when you get your prayer line, very important that you get your prayer line, because anybody can minister this. Anybody can. Yeah, let's just read here. And, you know, when you minister this, this will give you a stadium church, you know, just this will give you a stadium church. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because this is so powerful. It puts hope in people's hearts. It builds them up. It gives them revelation. It gives them, you know, a sense of belonging. So you learn to minister this, but now you also have to learn to minister the Spirit of God. So now I'm done with that. So I'm done ministering the Word, and anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. You don't need to be anointed to do that. And that's sometimes what I think is the deceivement coming in, because anyone can take this book up and treat it like a history book, okay? Treat it like a history book, and you don't have to be anointed to minister the Word. You don't need to believe the truth of God to minister the Word. You can minister this. You can give class, anything with it. What makes the difference, to minister the Spirit, you have to be anointed. And I'll explain to you the difference. I'll explain to you the difference. Do you want the miracle real? What is the secret? You have to learn to minister the word. Oh, there goes my feather. These feathers appeared in healing and deliverance rooms. And so I just kept one. I lost one already. Sorry, guy. I didn't mean to distract you. Because to minister the Spirit means I have to humble myself. Not look humble in front of people. Oh, yeah. That looks really... I sometimes demonstrate these things because it really needs to confront us a little bit sometimes, because that's how we are. Sometimes we look very humble, but we're not very humble in the Lord. What does mean humble in the Lord? Humble in the Lord means I'm obedience to Christ. I'm obedience to Christ. And when you're obedience to Christ, say, Lord, yes, oh, go preach, right, Lord? Heal the sick. God, that's going to be a challenge. I need you for that. I need to know how you operate through that. Because I see Jesus didn't even do that without you, Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we need to talk, because I need to know you. You need to show me how to heal. How do you heal, God? Cleanse the lepers. Got to find a leper. That means traveling. Oh, that means missionary work. Okay. You know, I like to just joke a little bit, okay? Just take me with a little bit of salt, guys. I always say if we laugh, we get a revelation, you know? Because that's how we grow spiritually, is through revelation. How do you know you grow spiritually? You constantly get revelation. Okay? That's how you know you grow. Okay? So let's just see. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers. I got to go on missionary work, okay? Raise the dead, Lord. How am I going to do that? I need you really now, Holy Spirit. I need you. You need to teach me how to raise the dead. Okay, cast out demons. Lord, that's scary. And that's terrible, you know, to do. Like, I'm really, oh, freely you have received, freely give. Okay. So, we see that we get anointed, empowered, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be in the office of Jesus Christ. Okay, and we'll talk about the office of Jesus Christ. So I get a job to do. There's two jobs in the Bible. One is called Job, and the other one is a job to do. Two jobs to do. Okay? And so, so you have to be nice with yourself. You have to be nice with yourself, because you're going to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. You cannot develop your Christ-like character if you're not nice to yourself. If you pray for the first person, they don't get healed, don't beat yourself up and think, oh, I'm not holy enough. I haven't read the Bible enough. I haven't meditated enough. Be nice with yourself. You didn't get on a bicycle for the first time and just ride it. You had a few falls, you fell off. You should still see me skate, trying to be out on the ice. It's this way, down the hills, skiing, it's pizza, pizza. And the Canadian, I had a friend, he was just ruthless. He was a bank manager. I came here, what, 27 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. I said, can you skate? Is that the word, skate? Is that right, on the ice? He says, a little bit. So we go out there, and I go like this. He flies around me, circles. I said to him, I thought you said you can't skate. He says, well, I'm Canadian. I said, okay. You know, so when you start out on obedience ministry, you get the Holy Spirit. And of course, you know the Holy Spirit, and you theoretically, you know that God has put... I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about empowerment to get the job done. Remember, I told you the lawnmower? Okay? If you don't have the anointing, you look like, you know, you're cutting the lawn. And, you know, the machine is running, brrr, and everybody look, wow, look, your neighbor is up. 7 o'clock, he's waking up the people. And, you know, you're walking around there with your lawnmower, and your neighbor looks at you and says, man, are you in your right mind? The lawn is not cut. You say, what's going on? And you lift up the lawnmower, and you say, oh, my goodness, the blade is missing. The blade's missing. The job's not done. So it is the anointing that gets the job done. Okay? Going to get the job done. And so that's why if people are not talking about the word anointing, you don't hear the word anointing, you don't hear Holy Ghost, then there's no language, there's no culture, there's no kingdom. Okay? There's no kingdom. And we as sons and daughters are called to advance the kingdom, to take care of business, keeping the well open. Although they don't see it, and they don't have the vision, and they have ideas, that doesn't really matter. You have the vision. Paul, you have the vision. Hans, you have the vision. You know that we're, number one, we're going to have to attract the lovers of God. Who is God now? This is the revelation. Who is God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. You have to have a revelation there. Jesus said that at the well, remember? Interesting, he was at the well. And we're just talking about this church being a well in Saskatchewan. You know, they're going to just say, you know, you need to go to Paul's church. He's got a well. You got to drink that water. What? And I always watch, Paul, people that love the Holy Spirit, that's lovers of the Holy Spirit, they always come back to that well because they know that's where they can get their drink. They disappear for 3-4 weeks, sometimes a month, 2 months. I watch them. They go, and then they get thirsty. Oh, then they appear again. How are you guys doing? I haven't seen you for a long time. Yeah, I know. And I know how. You know. You know this is our Holy Spirit well. You know. Why? Because we see it in the Bible. What is Jeremiah? Can you put up for me Jeremiah 1 verse 12? Because they don't really see and they don't hear. Why don't they don't see? Because they haven't turned. They haven't got to the cross. Okay? And that's why I'm saying the enemy will give you and say, you can't be a Christian without the cross. Yeah, you can have all the values and the spiritual stuff and all the fun spiritual stuff, which is all yours, but do it with the cross. You know, oh, I want to do this and I want to prophesy and I want all the fun stuff of the spiritual. But when it comes to cleaning the toilets, I don't want that. What does it mean cleaning the toilets? Doing deliverance ministry. No, that's not for me. I like the prophecy, and I'm just joking, you know, I'm just joking with the culture a little bit. You know what I'm saying, Hans? But if you want the blade, if you want the blade on the lawnmower, brrr, oh, you know what I'm saying? The job is not done. What's missing? The Holy Spirit, the anointing. The Christ-like character, the obedience to Jesus. It's hard to teach these things because people go like, I'm not willing to pay that price. You know what I'm saying? I'm not willing. But we can do it together. Encouraging one another, loving one another. And grow in grace. Does this bless you guys? Does it give you a bit of a bigger perspective. So, how do I start? Well, get yourself a prayer line. That is, you know, I can read how to be a physician, and I can study 10 years. We have a friend now that studied. He's in his late 30s, and he's now a specialist. And he's seeing his first patients to pay down his debt. Guys, hier nou is 'n groot specialist. And the man is smart. I mean, he's probably got MRI eyes or CT eyes. He looks at you and he tells you what you have, you know. So it cost him to come to that level. And listen, the anointing do cost you. It does. But why do we do that? Because we see the truth. We see, my goodness, I'm called to freedom ministry. I'm called... God, I cannot do that. And Jesus could not do it. Listen, newsflash. Jesus could not do what he did unless it was him knowing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had to teach him. Took him out to the desert. You know, you guys see that. But there's no way Jesus could have done it. So we now we get the Spirit. We get the Spirit too, just like him. And now we just say, Lord, just touch this person. I remember how shocked I was when the first time I was standing there. A lady came to the front. And she was in big witchcraft stuff. But she was done with it. And she says to me, Rudy, would you just see if this power that I worship, that it looks like they treat him like a pet, you know, these powers that they have. They treat him like a pet. They feed him, you know. They worship him. They burn stuff for them. You know, they do all kinds of stuff. And then this because they keep this power around, they get powers, you know. And so you can ask them, how many powers you have? 9, 7. They know how many powers they have. They know how they feed them and worship them and learn from them, the ancestors, you know, because the ancestors give you the traditions how to keep these things happy, you know. But anyhow, where am I going with this? Oh, I remember when I was starting out in line ministry, a lady came to me and she says, really, I've been in that stuff. She says, I was into witchcraft and powers and stuff. And sometimes people get into that because they probably got through a divorce and they got so hurt, you know, so hurt that they now are so angry that they empower themselves. And I guess either they don't know God or they don't, or, you know, they just don't see the Spirit of God anymore. And so they just know that they can get powers a different way, you know, through other spiritual people. And we know we're supposed to be the spiritual people that they get the power from, you know. But anyhow, so she came and stood in front of me and she says, Paul, if you don't mind, I, you know, repented, I turned from the Lord just to see if this thing is hanging around. But, you know, if you made friends with those things, they don't want to go. They don't want to go because they think they own you now. And I remember how I was just shocked. And I remember she standing in front of me, and there was really nobody to teach me how to work with spirits. So I had to just have the desire that I want to learn and get the word in me. And there was really nobody that showed me how to do it. And she was standing in front of me, and I remember I just said, this is all I said, Holy Spirit, touch. Oh, there she goes. That thing wasn't happy because God was touching that spirit, you know. And then she started going in manifestation, you know, and she wanted to throw up, because usually what they do is they throw up the spirits. And so we were in this hotel in Red Deer. What is it called then? What is it? Anyhow. Then anything that was around, there was no bucket around there. So guess here comes the big salad bowl. She's like, she says, I need to throw up. Because you know spirits can leave you in any orifice. If you're now in Christ's ministry, you learn, you're going to get some spiritual knowledge because you're dealing with spirits. So that thing is not happy. It wants to come out of the temple of the Lord. You know, and all we had was this massive salad bowl. Here comes a massive salad bowl. And that thing wasn't, listen guys, this thing wasn't this size. It was this size. I'm not going to mention the hotel because I don't want you to skip this salad, okay? And as we stand there with the salad, now this is how I started with anointed ministry. Stand there with a salad bowl. Was it me standing there or somebody, one of my friends was standing there? Here Pastor Pete comes in on the side. And he's like, just see what's happening. The woman is going, the spirit want to come out. And he's standing, and somebody's standing with a big salad. He got that. And he goes and tells that story everywhere now still. He was just very impressed with that big salad bowl. So, okay. So, we talked about a lot of things this morning. We talked about Christ-like character. So our focus should be more on Christ-like character, to get Christ-like character in people. rather than, you know, and then, now, God's people is lovers of His Spirit, okay? Lovers of His presence. But God's people also love truth, okay? And John 17:17, and I was ministering last night out of that. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go to John 17:17. How are you guys doing? You doing okay? Feeling blessed? You're getting a revelation? So this is what I'm telling you, anybody can do, okay? Anybody can do. Yes, John 17:17. So you're going to say, okay, Rudy, so how do I get anointed? How do I get the blade back on the lawnmower? You know, how do I get the job done? Well, you need to know your Father. You need to know the Holy Spirit. You need to draw closer to God. Draw closer to God, and He will draw closer to you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, so how does that work? John 17:17. And those that heard me last night is probably going to hear it again a little bit. Sanctify them with your truth. So sanctification comes through truth. Okay, so you're either a lover of truth or you hate truth. You like lies. You know, who's the father of lies? Jesus said, the enemy, Satan. He's lying. So you either have truth in you or you don't have truth. I believe the fact that you're here today is you love truth. You know, if you're married to a spouse, husband or wife that lies, what goes next? Trust. Can't trust the guy. Can't trust the woman. And if you can't trust, there goes a relationship. See the building blocks? Okay, so that's why we have communion here. Why? Because you're a lover of truth. And, you know, if you're married with a spouse that's not in truth, there's no trust. And if there's no trust, there's no relationship. So many times you see people coming in with anxiety. Why? They've lost their faith. They've lost their trust. They got hurt. They, you know, they got deceived. And, you know, they just need to be connected back with truth and trust. So, okay. So that's important. No marriage is going to work. You know what Hildegard said to me? She says, you always tell me the truth. And that was the godly fear hitting me right there. You know, she's beautiful. Oh my goodness, my wife is beautiful. You know, when I saw her, I know it's all over for me. Pack your bags, you're going. You're done. You know, I can imagine when Adam saw Eve. Oh my goodness, you know. I'll do everything she tells me, even eat that apple. It's basically for me in my marriage like that, Paul. But I mean, she put the fear of God on me. You know, I was trapped by that beauty. I looked at her, man. She's got green eyes, like, whoo, you know. I haven't seen as beautiful anything in my life like that. You know, I'm glad she's not here, that she doesn't hear this. But and I said to her, shame on you. You ripped my heart out. I still tell her that. I said, you know, you just took my heart. That's what you did. But, you know, when she looks me in that green eyes, I was done, you know. And I thought to myself, I better marry her quickly before another man takes her. You know, because there's no way I want to lose her. Right, Dwayne? No way. No way. I got to move fast. You know? And, but she put the fear of God on me. She said to me, if you don't tell me the truth, it's done. You'll always be truthful. And, you know, there's a revelation with that. No relationship can be built if there's not truth. If there's lies and cheating, and what relation works on that? It can't work. And that's why the relationship with God is working, because he says very clearly, I am truth. And what does truth do? Truth sets you apart. Sets you apart for service. Where was David anointed? When they anoint you in the old times, it means you're set apart to do the job, by the way. So, you know, when that prophet comes with the oil, you have a choice. You're signing up for a job. So run. You know, here I start being funny again. I should stop that. But anyhow, I want to make you laugh. Kings got anointed. Priests got anointed. Aaron got anointed. That means it's very honorable, but guess what? You got the job. You got the job. And that's what the anointing also is. You got the job. Congratulations, you have the power, but you have the job now. And many is like, oh yeah, we love the Lord and the Lord. Job? No. Job? No, we love the peace, the freedom, the gifts, the prophesying, you know, deliverance, toilet. You mean toilet cleaning? No, I don't want, that's a job. 2-3 hours spent with the people to get a spirit out? No way. That's not for me. But give me the deep stuff of God. Yeah, deep stuff. That's why I'm messing now, okay? I'm messing with that religious mindset. You want the power of God? You want to heal people? You want to deliver people? Start with cleaning the toilets. What is cleaning the toilets? Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. You know, and I know it doesn't look well. If it offends people, go do it in there, you know, separate. But I'm at the stage where I love the line. And I've noticed that we're growing in grace now so much that I would be ministering here and God will be delivering there. That's what I've seen. I've seen that last night too, you know. So you get the anointing to do the job, okay? So Aaron, beautiful. He had his crown up, holy unto the Lord, you know, high priest, garments, stones around the neck, you know, all of that, beautiful. But his life was Christ-like. He was set apart to do the job. Okay. So each one of you are getting anointed right now to do the job. So you have to decide whether you want to do the job. You can have the lawnmower that makes the noise and looks like the lawn, you know, but there's no blade, there's no anointing. And it looks like you're doing the job, but listen, the anointing is the one that cuts the lawn. And it's going to keep a certain focus, because many brothers and sisters, you say, calm down, brother. You're too, you know, calm down, brother, you know. And I have to watch myself, because when I walk too long with people that's not operating the anointing, that doesn't honor the anointing, I become like them. And then the Lord says, no, let me just put you back on the train track. It's about the kingdom for me. You need to advance the kingdom. You need to have a Christ-like character. You have to do what I showed you, what your brother did. Who's your brother? Jesus Christ. I showed you what the master did. You know, Elisha went and look at Elijah and say, saw what Elijah did. He went to the Jordan River, rolled up the mantle, hit the Jordan River, and the river went, okay? And Elisha's like, oh, that's what my master did. Here comes the mantle, roll it up. By the way, the mantle didn't fall on him. And now he got anointed. No, he had to go and get the mantle. Yeah, that's right. So for the anointing, you have to go get it, pick it up, and then you go. But anyhow, so he saw, Elisha saw what his master did. Okay? So we see what Jesus did. Jesus did a certain ministry. Couldn't do it without the anointing. Couldn't do it with the Holy Spirit. And so God gave us an example of your brother. Your brother is Jesus Christ. So people can say, I don't know what my calling is. No, but you don't know what your calling is? Well, go in the Bible. And God sent his will in the form of flesh to show you what his will is. I don't know what my calling is. I just don't feel so. Well, start with that. Let the Lord, you know, move closer to the Holy Spirit. You know, he sent you the exact example of what his will is. His will is Jesus Christ. It's your brother. That's why I'm like, Lord, I'm not really worthy to be called brother. He's my God. He's my, you know, I got to revere him and honor him. No, but there's a reason why he's called your brother. Because the Holy Spirit currently is building you into the image of Jesus Christ. Okay? How can I explain that? Well, you have your Ford pickup, and you fill them up with gas, and here comes a guy, and you drive. Okay, let's just use Dodge, because I'm driving a Ford. Huh? I got to be careful now. That's very Canadian. You guy said to me in Manitoba, he says, if you drive a Dodge, you're real Canadian. I said, well, I got a purple Dodge pickup. So I'm really up there. Anyhow, so you're driving your whatever. Let's just go really low. Volkswagen Beetle. I don't think I'll step on any toes now. Huh? Oh, Beetle. I said Beetle. Okay? So you drive your Volkswagen Beetle, and then here comes the Tesla next to you, and you're like, what? So when God brought out Jesus Christ, he brought out the Tesla. And everybody's like, a new model? I want to upgrade like him. Like, he walks on water. And he heals people. And he delivers people. I want to be upgraded. And then the Bible says you are getting upgraded. The Holy Spirit's got his job cut out for him. The Holy Spirit is giving you gifts and upgrading you and giving you revelation. That's why you're here today, because you're getting an upgrade today. You know, does your Apple phone open? So, oh, you need another upgrade or another. Year. Who's the Apple fans here, by the way? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you, Jesus. Just joking, guys. Just joking. What's up? I'm gonna get. So you know. And my wife says, listen to me, I'm not going to update my Apple phone, because every time I update, you know, okay, I should not say Apple, it's just my phone, then the program is all messed up, and, you know, oh, she gets upset, and, you know. But you're getting an upgrade today, because you're seeing now the broader picture. Okay, you see, oh my goodness, you want to say to me, I'm in freedom ministry? Yes, you want to tell me that you know, the Lord wants people free, yes, and I can't do it with the anointing, yes, and the anointing is a certain language, and where language is, there's culture, okay, and you want to say to me that I need to always keep the kingdom, yes, so you're getting a revelation, you're getting an update, and your spirit man is in there and say, man, I can see, I'm not as blind as anymore, you know, and so God's upgrading you from the Volkswagen Beetle into the Tesla. So the Holy Spirit's like, man, I got my work to do here. You know, I got to feed them the word. I got to show them the gifts that they have. And like he's talk about your schedule. If you think of your week, it's coming, how tight it is, and you're on call and whatever, Neil, and you know what I'm saying? Think about the schedule of the Holy Spirit. Because he's constantly have to unveil Jesus Christ in you. He's got to take some veils, you know, the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks that if you're in Christ, there's a new creation in you. There's a new man in you. Right in there. But you haven't activated that man yet because you haven't thought you're worthy to be set apart to get the job done. But now you know. Now you've heard the message. Now you've got no excuse anymore. Now I have to get yourself a prayer line and not just minister the word, but minister the prayer line with the anointing, with your Christ-like character now. So the healing and the deliverance is just byproducts, you know, but we get so focused on that because we don't see it. And we don't have the revelation, but we have the conviction of the truth. The conviction of the truth is setting you apart among your brothers. Because that's where you get anointed. That's where David got anointed. Among his brothers, he got the job. He got the empowerment. So as much as you're open to the truth doesn't condemn you. Right? The truth. One of the parables that ministered to me a lot was Jesus tells this parable about, the guy had two sons and he asked him to go and work in the vineyard. And the first son, I believe he said, yes, I will. And he didn't. And the second, or no, the first son said, no, I will not. That's right. The first son said to the dad, he said, no, I will not go and work the vineyard. But he did go and he worked in the vineyard. The second son said, yeah, I will, but he didn't go. And Jesus said, so which one do you think that the will, of the Father? And they said, the first one. And so that parable was coming up in me constantly. What was it? What was it? It was conviction that I'm called to do the job, to stand in the office of Jesus Christ. See, you're called to stand in the office of Jesus Christ. And until I started going out in ministry and start ministering, that parable went. Because the job for that parable was done. Do you understand that? So that conviction of truth was now done. It was fulfilled. I stepped out in ministry. I said, God, I will take the calling. I will stand in the office of Jesus Christ. Okay? So here is the office of the high priest, Jesus Christ. He is the high priest. He's the true high priest. Okay? So here Aaron was anointed to stand in the office of Jesus Christ. Moses was as deliverer, stood in the office of Jesus Christ. Elijah, Joshua, here comes Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord, Savior. He is the high priest. The high priest mocked him, put him on a cross, killed him. God just raised him, sorry. You kill all my prophets, but this one you're not going to kill. He's my son, All the prophets before Jesus was killed in Jerusalem. And so Jesus went to heaven. Here is Phil. Here's Megan. Here's Janice. We're standing in his office. Just like Moses did. And we're thinking, wow, Moses, you were big. Man, you know what I'm saying? But they were all just standing in the office. Got the anointing, got the oil, had a sacrificial life, had to separate themselves for service, had to carry their cross. Like you and me, we have to carry for us to stand and get the anointing. We're different than our brothers. We know we're called. We can't watch the movies where they smooth and kiss and then they're in the bed and they're not married and blah, 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 and all that stuff. I'm just saying, you have to separate you from the world. You have to carry your cross to be empowered to get the job done. I'm just saying. Or whatever they do out there, cursing or whatever. They're just in the world, But that's my choice. That's my choice that I step out and separate myself from the world because I know I've got a calling. I'm a leader. I have to do that. I don't have that. But Dad, would you come and watch quickly a movie with us? No, I just know. And they're gonna start the movie and then there's cursing and all kinds of stuff and then Dad walks out. Dad, why do you walk out? And it breaks my heart because they don't understand. I have a calling on my life. My eyes is not made to see that. Now, when you function like that, without the Holy Spirit, you become religious. Okay? That's the fine line between the religious, and we hate religion, because it feels like you're oppressed again, you're under law. So if you do that stuff without the anointing, without the empowerment, you become religious. And we've seen religion. Men hate religion now. They break it down. That's why there's such an attack against religion now. Because it's dry. It's more laws than freedom. You guys understand? We're going a little bit deep. I don't want to... Okay. But I want you to see the broader picture. So the fun part is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets you free from that. Why am I building on that? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, look at that. Yeah, the new creation. So that, you need to know that inside of you. Oh, the office of Jesus Christ. So we see Aaron. Aaron, when the oil was poured out on you, it means you're set apart. Gerald, you're set apart. Okay? You're set apart. Here I come. I'm the prophet. You want to stand right here, Gerald? So here Gerald is. He's Aaron. Here comes Moses. He takes the oil and he says, Gerald, you're called to the office of Jesus Christ. And the oil was a sign that you are put separate. Separate to do the job for God. Okay? And so that was how in the old times, in front of the brothers, they would show you that you have been now officially put in that position to do the job. And that's why when the anointing comes upon you, when you have the anointing, it shows that you are now empowered to do the job. So the anointing that's on you, the empowerment, shows that you're set apart by God to set God's people free. This is, if you read the whole Bible, it's all about you guys. It's all about the love for you to set you free. That's why we have healing. That's why we have deliverance. That's why we talk about, it's about you getting blessed. Destiny. Destiny, you're saying? Yes. So that's why the anointing sets you apart. It overtakes you. It empowers you. When you pray for people, you just see something is now happening because you are anointed. You're set apart by the Lord to get the job done. Yeah. Now, how does the anointing start? How does it set you apart? Thanks, Gerald. Appreciate that. How does it start? John 17:17 gives us a clue. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So as you're sitting there, as you are receiving this word this morning, how you receive that word, how you revere it, how you look after it, how you meditate on it, sets you apart. That's where the anointing now starts. Some of you will just say, another day in paradise. Christ, carry my cross, what do you mean? Paying the price, answering the calling, what do you mean, Rudy? Don't mess with me. But some of you will say, oh my goodness, this is precious. I've never heard this before. I'm going to change my life, Rudy. That's what Jesus Christ gives you. Things that you don't like. And it doesn't always have to be sin. It's just the way you do things. Well, I'm just not really, I don't like doing this. But you know what? I'm going to change. I'm going to do it differently. You know, I'm going to really wash my floor in my kitchen now. I usually just feel so convicted because I rarely wash my kitchen floor and clean up my kitchen. I'm just giving you a silly example, you know, so that you laugh a little bit because we're all human. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I always feel terrible that I don't wash my kitchen floor. But you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to just change and start doing it. And that's what Jesus Christ gives you. Jesus Christ gives you repentance. He gives you a chance to change. You say, from tomorrow, see, it's not a sin to not wash your floor. You know what I'm saying? But there's some part, you know, sometimes I look at myself, Paul, and I say to myself, there's non-Christians that's nicer than me. How's that possible? I'm supposed to be the Christian and have the Christian care. And I feel ashamed. They give more stuff to my neighbor than I do. You know what I'm saying, Neelan? Like, I watch people and I get convicted by that. And I say, you know what? There's people nicer than me. That's not even Christians. But the beauty of Jesus Christ is that I can change. The Father has given me, I can change now, I can change tomorrow, I have the ability to turn from things. And it doesn't always have to be sin, but just the way that I do things. And feel better about myself. Does that help? Does it bless you? So, David got anointed among his brothers. And some of you are going to take what I said to you this morning and say, God, wow, you mean your word is setting me apart to get the job done, to stand in the office of Jesus Christ, to get empowered, to get the blade on the lawnmower, to you know, to get the job done? You want to tell me that how I revere your word and how I turn in my heart towards your word, that's the start of the anointing, the empowerment? Yes, I'm signing up. I'm signing. Lord, is it that easy? Yes. That's how you get the Holy Spirit, because you're stepping into, that's how you get the empowerment, that's how you get the anointing, that's how you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People know, hey man, you're baptized. I come close to you, I'm on the floor. If I come close to you, I'm shaking. You know, you're like the ark of God. You know, how does it start? Easy key. Just move in His truth. Have a Christ-like character. Get yourself a prayer line. Minister the word, but also minister, you know, to people. That's where the miraculous realm is, because to minister the word, you don't need the anointing. Anybody can do that, and you can build a mega church with just the word. You've seen them on TV. You've seen them, and we're all like, oh, God, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it is a dream for me to probably see, you know, it's just to bring in the fruit, you know, to bring in the harvest. We all have that. I mean, if you've got a pastor's heart, you know, that is your heart. You want to see God move and people bless, you know, we all want that. But, you know, and you can have that big church, and that's fine, but it was done just by the word. And the word is that powerful that it can cause mega churches like that. It can. But do you really want to do it without God, the Holy Spirit? Wow, you know, is the job really done? It sounds like the lawnmower. Is people really free? Are they really delivered from tormenting spirits? You know, are they really brought out of the house of bondage? It's a different culture, different language. And where does it start? It starts today right here. It's an apple, don't worry, it won't break. You want a new phone? Just drop your phone accidentally. Okay. So nobody has an excuse now to say, I don't understand the anointing. No. Nobody has an excuse saying, I can't grow in the anointing. Okay, so because you know the truth now. And so the end of, let's go to the end of Peter, is it 1 Peter 1? That's how easy it is, guys. And we know what happened to David when he got the anointing. Yeah, he got the, you know, because he's got to set God's people free. He got the giant. You know? Yeah, so now he got the giant. Now, God, I really need you. Because if that stone doesn't hit him, we've got a problem. But the anointing gave him godly boldness, you know, to walk up to a giant and say, man, I'll just take you out. You know, there's no way in his right mind, in his natural mind, that he could have walked up. I believe, you know, I believe it was the anointing. It was the Spirit of God on him. Because the Spirit of God gives us boldness. You'll see. As you start functioning, as you're setting God's people free, you'll be more bolder and bolder. Breaking stuff off, rebuking things, praying for healing. It just automatically, you just know, because God is, he's going to do it. It's not me that, you know, you're like, did God just do this? You know. We're basically spectators to see what he's doing in front of us. Okay. We're close to the end here, and then I'm going to just minister a little bit. We're going to do, are you okay? We do a little bit of line ministry. Is that fine, Paul? Get people out here, pray for them. Okay. So we're looking at 2 Peter. Easy address. I love easy addresses in the Bible. I like the 17, 17, 41, 41, you know, John 10:10, you know. So if you can bring up for me 2 Peter, and we'll probably teach about this further tonight, 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in the grace, grow in the grace. Okay, what does that mean? You're going to pray for the first person, nothing much is probably going to happen. Or you need a salad bowl immediately with that first person, you know? So get your salad bowls ready, you know, because that spirit, you know, he hides. He's from the kingdom of darkness, and he wants to take you out. He wants to manifest something in you to kill you, you know? And so, you know, we do preventative medication, you know, exercise, eat healthy, so that you don't get diseased, you don't get diabetes, you know, keep healthy. It's preventative medicine, okay? So when we do prayer line ministry, it's preventative spiritual medicine, okay? Because that spirit that's sitting there is waiting to mature, to take you out. We're so smart in the natural, I just don't know why we don't see it in the spiritual. I just don't know. We spend money and money on preventative medicine, and then the spirit takes us out. It's like we build this big army of nuclear weapons and, you know, build boats like crazy, and then a little virus walks in. Little virus. And we're like, where's that? Oh, yeah, now we got to scatter and find stuff and build stuff. And you know what I'm saying, Paul? It's in the spiritual the same. Oh, he's so smart. Take this vitamin that comes out of Switzerland. It's picked up the Alps right there and was picked, you know, usually grows when the clouds go over it, and it's going to prolong your life. And you're like, oh, I got to get this. I sometimes get joking sarcastic. But, you know, and I, in a way, it's joking with our inability to see, our blindness, our spiritual blindness, you know. Oh, people will pay thousands on that to get that, you know. But just to do a little prayer line, just to do some preventative medicine in the spiritual, just to say there's a spirit from the kingdom of darkness that just hates you because John 10:10 reveals them. You know, they come only what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because the world here is under rebellion. The Bible says very clearly there's an angel that was a rebel. A stiff neck. Yeah, a stubborn spirit, you know, he fell out of heaven, and he brought a third of the angels, the dragon hid a third of the angels with his tail out, and so the world is now under rebellion. You can see it. Turn on the news, you'll just see rebellion all over the place. But God's just saying, listen, guys, you guys better sort yourself out there. I send my word in, my workers there, the wells is there, better turn, because he's coming, and he's going to sort this place out for you guys. Going to sort this out. It's my kingdom, my creator. Genesis 1 says, that belongs, the earth and heavens, everything belongs to you. And I gave it to man to have dominion over it in the spirit, not in the flesh. But we keep on doing it in the flesh. And that's why I say, it's Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we get divided. And so, everything is under rebellion at the moment. Why? Because it's under one spirit that fell, a rebel. A stiff neck. Couldn't submit to the word of God. You know, but the Father's saying, sorry, boys, the time of rebellion is a matter of time. I'm going to come and sort this out down here. You know. And so when Jesus comes to Jerusalem, it's a matter of, it's done. Everything shall submit again. Under God, the Father, rebellion is done. I'm just saying that. You as sons and daughters need to know that an angel is not going to just stand here and say, oh, we want angels. But the earth was not given to angels. It was given to you and me. So the Father is like, okay, my spirit's with you, my son and my daughter, because this belongs to you and you will be honored here. Not, of course, I want to, probably all of us would like to see an angel here, glorious, standing here, and wow, we can see him. It's like, wow, we're really spiritual now. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't given to him. It was given to you and to you. The earth was given to us to have dominion. Genesis 1, 27. Is that right? Can you just throw that up for me? Genesis 1, 27. Of course we want, you know, Angel Gabriel, what an honor if he shows up here. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Great. But it's not about him, wow. It's like, God wants you. Wow, you're the one that should be wow here with my spirit on you and in you, because this is your territory. It's given to you. What is that angel doing here and trying to bully you and take you over and run you over with his rebellion? What is he doing here? Trying to take something that was given to you to have dominion in the spirit. You see that? Oh. Okay, where's the one with the dominion, where he has dominion? They still have 26. Okay, one backup, thank you. You know, I have a bit of the nature of Apostle Paul, because Apostle Paul says somewhere it is quoted. So I have a little bit of Apostle Paul too. You can send your genetics away these days, you know. You can send it and then they analyze your genetics. Have you guys seen that? Oh, I love it. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Anyhow, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness to them, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and the cattle, and thank goodness for that. Thank you for steak, Lord Jesus. And over the earth and every creeping thing. So guess what? God says, it's yours. The earth is yours. You know, you're my man to run the show down here. You are. But you cannot do it. You have to have me and the blood of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, you would not have access to the Holy Spirit. There's no way you could have had the Holy Spirit as a helper if it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ. So the blood of this, the blood of Jesus Christ gives you that you have access to the Holy Spirit, that you can have the helper. So look at that. Because the deceivement is always, okay, I got to hold out because the earth is going to be destroyed by fire and we know the bad's going to come. No. The Lord is saying, Jesus Christ, it belongs to him. He's your brother. The earth is given to you guys. You have dominion of things, spirits and whatever, and sicknesses. You have dominion. Okay? So that's why you're called to preventative spiritual medicine. You got to give people a little bit of a spiritual MRI, Holy Spirit touch, and you'll just see, oh, here's a spirit right here. The one of kingdom of darkness is now. He's not too happy because he's a spirit from the darkness. He doesn't want to be seen, because if he's exposed, then he can't go on with his job to kill you. Okay, so if you get that spirit at an early age, and you grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Can you just put that verse back of the grace of God? Sorry to be so. And you get that spirit going, you know, sometimes they cough, sometimes they yawn, and that spirit comes out, because the word spirit means air, okay? If you look in the Hebrew language, you see that the spirit air, okay? So, so now that person doesn't have to spend all that expensive money and get all that vitamins there from Switzerland, because you went to the root of the problem. Okay, because the spirit manifests in the natural. Okay, you went, why? Because God has opened your eyes. Jeremiah says, you've seen well. You're seeing well, Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, you've seen well, for I'm ready to act upon my word. You're seeing in the spirit now. You see the root of the problem. So we used to joke and say we're doing spiritual MRIs for people. They come in, and people get shocked. Says, I didn't know I had that. What was that? Something lifted off me. I remember that in our clinic, one nurse would collect money for years and years now to play the lotto. And she would just assume that everyone in the clinic will give money And I just got convicted by that. I said to her, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm not giving money for the lotto anymore. I'm done. I don't want to be part of it. I don't care if you win 19 million, 20 million for you. You know, I'm sorry. And I remember just after saying that, I went to the telephone, I picked the telephone off the wall, and suddenly something lifted off me. Something was waiting. Something was waiting for me on a certain behavior and choice that I, you know, thought that I'm going to make. But I just felt that heaviness look. Gone. And, you know, you can do what you want. Listen, you're free. But do you want the anointing? Do you want the anointing? It's a calling. It is, Lord, how do I receive your word? How do I receive your truth? How do I revere and honor that in my heart? How am I going to be faithful with it? That was the end of Peter, was it? The end of Peter, chapter Peter. Yeah, can we see again, have that again? The end of 2 Peter 3:18. Okay, we're at the end of this. But grow in the grace, okay? Where's the grace? The grace is right here in your spirit. Okay, this is where the grace is, right here. There's different grace. Oh yeah, you give me grace to turn, or you give me grace to change, you know what I'm saying? But the grace is the Lord Jesus Christ's spirit is one with your spirit, the new creation. 2 Corinthians talks about that. So you pray, nothing happens. Third one, you pray, nothing happens. Fourth one, and suddenly the fifth one, something happens. The first one, you beat yourself down. Oh, I wasn't holy enough. I didn't read my Bible. I haven't repented enough. I'm in stuff. So you beat yourself down. Boom, 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 boom. Now you don't want to pray. You don't want to do the prayer line. Or somebody comes and say to you, somebody's coming. You know, somebody one time wrote me a letter and said, please don't do deliverance and divide churches. Yeah. Wrote me a letter. Please don't do deliverance in divine church. I've been long enough in a church. You know what I'm saying? Trying to plug the well, throw a stone in there. It hurt me. You know, of course it hurt you because, you know, who's now, every time we're there and ministering, who's in there and get the most deliverance, enjoy it the most? The one that wrote me the letter. Who brings in the family now to get delivered? The one that wrote me the letter. But I could have given up because it hurt. It was so hurtful. But if we don't stay in the Word, don't surround us with people that's, you know, in the culture, in the talking, the anointing, the kingdom ministry, you will get hurt because God makes you so sensitive. What is your Achilles heel is your sensitivity. You know, if they cut you right there, you can't walk, you're gone. That when they cut that, you know. But you have to understand why you're so sensitive. People just say to you, man, your haircut doesn't look good. You know what I'm saying? And it hurts. And you're always wondering, why are you so sensitive? What has become your strong point to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God has become your weakness. Do you understand that? So people can just say, man, I don't like the way you minister. And you go, oh, my poor heart. You know what I'm saying? My poor heart. But you got that sensitivity to be sensitive towards the Lord and towards you. You need to understand that. Okay. So you need to grow in the grace. So be nice to yourself. If nothing happens, you're praying. If your prophecy is off, be nice to yourself. God will make you grow in that spiritual grace. Okay. So let's just pray for people. Let's just open up the prayer line. Sorry if I go on too long. But I would rather like people blessed with some knowledge. You know, somebody's going to pick up this mantle, Paul. Somebody is going to say, you know what you just said today, I'm picking up that mantle. I'm going to, Rudy, what you just said, I'm going to build on that. I'm going to build on that. And that's what we want to see. You don't want to just see people hearing the word and then not building on it. It's great. You know, we did ministry Thursday night, and somebody drove far away from three hills to and came for ministry. And you know what blessed me is, you know, the people that helped me, Phil and Megan and Tim and Oriana, they stayed around and they took the mantle further. It was 12 o'clock and I started apologizing. Am I taking your pencil? And I started apologizing for keeping them that long, feeling, man, I'm, you know. But they said, no, we're having fun. And what blessed me is they're taking the mantle. They're taking the anointing. That's what you want to see. You want to see the person taking that Christ-like ministry, taking the office. Okay, so is that okay, Paula? We can just, can you guys just move that for me? I'm going to open up the line. And